Drake and Scott with Ziggy on RadioSlot.com. Welcome to the show.
Coast to coast. Ziggy free today.
He's not feeling well, so.
Oh, I thought he got picked up by the cops.
No, you're the one who's on the lam, not Ziggy.
Okay.
Coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We solve the world's problems in 45 minutes, or it's free. And if you weren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
You want to do the ad today, or you did the ad last week. Should I do the ad today?
I would love to hear you do the ad, because I'm sideways today a little bit. You're going to find out about that in a minute.
Right on. Witnessing a surge in electricity prices? Take charge of your energy expenses by transitioning to solar power. Connect with Alex Garnfeld at 925-791-1776 for a free consultation and quote with no strings attached. You can still take advantage of their introductory deal, $1 a month for your first 6 months. So start putting money back in your pocket. 925-791-1776. Remember to mention Drake and Scott sent you. And I have to add to this, because I met with Alex yesterday. He told the story of an elderly couple that has their adult children and grandchildren. They're all living in the same house. Their electricity bill was $800 a month.
Ouch.
So they went with solar, and they reduced it to $300 a month.
Okay.
Now, you're saving $500 a month there. That's $6,000 a year. That is a lot of money for some people. So it's a good deal to take advantage
of. It's enough to make me want to sign up right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take $6,000.
Yeah. Same here. And this is good throughout the United States, not just California. I think we give the impression that it's only for California, but that's not the case.
48 contiguous states.
That's right. And I'm sure if you're in Alaska or Hawaii, he wouldn't mind taking a trip out to meet with you personally.
Oh, yeah, no. Imagine the write-offs.
That's right. Yeah, we had a good conversation yesterday. He's still enjoying the show, which is nice, and still paying us, which is nicer still. But he did suggest that if we want more publicity at the next Super Bowl, we should streak the field. All three of us. We'll put hashtag Drake and Scott with Ziggy on our backs, and we'll just run naked across the football field and... We might get arrested, but can you imagine the publicity?
No, you might get arrested. I don't do naked. I'm not running across anything unless I'm fully clothed.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I don't need that kind of attention. Even fully clothed, I'm not running across the field at the Super Bowl. Can you imagine how much trouble I'd get in?
Well, it would cost us probably $10,000 to get in with the tickets.
Well, as you said earlier, I'm already on the lam.
Yeah, that's right.
I pay my taxes on time just not to... draw any more attention to myself. Here's what we'll do. Alex can dress up as me.
Okay.
And it can be Drake and Scott, only the role of Scott will be played by Alex.
Okay.
Alex, I give you full permission to impersonate me anytime you want.
Yeah, so we had a good talk yesterday. So I'm trying to get him to come and join us for our pre-show meeting and have a cigar with us. But we'll work it out. Eventually he'll... come and hang out with us.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe hear some more stories, because that one family you just told us about, that's just one example.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he's got some of his own crazy the way.
Oh, I'm sure he would have a lot of stories to tell. Speaking of, we got a few. 12 Harsh Truths We Learned the Hard Way. That's left over from last week, so we want to put a priority on that.
Yeah, we're going to hit that one.
Also, we have San Antonio, Texas. They tried a universal basic income experiment. And the results of that were kind of interesting. And are you a fubber? That's something
don't swear at me.
No. This is something I learned about here just a few days ago. A fubber is a phone snubber, where, are you someone that when you're talking with somebody else, you're constantly checking your phone? And it's kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I hate that.
Yes. So we can... if we get to it, we can talk about that. If not, it'll say, we'll save it for next week.
Okay. Yeah.
But we have...
in fact, that makes me think of something we're going to cover when we get to that.
Okay, great. Now, we have a lot of crazy on the way from you. I don't think I have anything today.
Oh, yeah. No, I got some...
I've got a crazy last Saturday night that I can talk about.
Yeah, and we cover that in the pre-show. I want to hear that one.
Okay.
They need to hear about this
one. I will tell it in detail.
But yeah, no, crazy on the way. I think I could fill the whole show today just on all the different stuff I've observed this last week.
Okay.
And I'm sideways, man. I get sideways way too easy with weird. I gotta get a thicker skin or a better filter or something. But anyways, let's talk about the fun one.
Okay. Right.
Scott's third T today stands for top of the morning to you.
Okay.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, your Irish is better than mine.
Oh, well, did you have a good day, sir?
It was a great St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
Because you had the corned beef and cabbage?
Of course. And
with a Guinness?
Well, yeah. And well, we did have a bit of a mishap at the house that it was kind of unfortunate. But overall, it was a fine day, fine weekend, and I'm quite pleased. Usually I'm not. So many times weekends feel like a 30-minute lunch break, and then it's back to Monday. But this weekend was all right.
Okay.
But I'm rabbit trailing here, so please to continue your...
It was a beautiful day.
Okay.
There was gold in the pot at the end of the rainbow.
Okay.
I had my family, my sister, my daughter-in-law, my son, his girl, my wife, my father-in-law, and we gorged ourselves on the cabbage, the corned beef. I made it from scratch.
Oh, wow.
All natural ingredients.
Okay.
The corn, not corn, carrots, potatoes, onions. And, of course, you got to cook it slowly in the Guinness all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's glorious, my friend.
Okay. Now you do that more traditional Irish thing. I dream of the day when the British leave Northern Ireland. And I rub my Armalite while thinking about it.
Oh, okay. No, I am part Irish. I love the whole Irish thing. So we had a great old day, man. Mm-hmm. I had so much fun, even at the store, buying the stuff to put it together. And then we crock-potted it And so my wife is not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And last night she actually liked it. That's how good it was. I may have converted her.
Okay.
She's got zero Irish, but now she might be. She's at least 1%. Because I don't think all the corned beef has made it through her system yet.
Okay.
It was good stuff. And big family. And we had a great old time. Relaxed around the house. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy how cool it was. Well, the only way it could have been better if there was more people.
Right on. Okay. Well, that's very nice and almost too wholesome for this show.
So, yeah. Well, you know, here's where I got a little bugged. Like yesterday, I'm walking around everywhere, and where's the green?
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple people wore green. It's like, you know what? I'm offended. The Irish part of me is offended.
Yeah. My wife and I, we're both Irish. So, yeah, I had a green shirt on. It was a dark green.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what she wore. But
yeah. No, I have a shirt I love. I wear it
I saw
St. Patrick's Day. We'll keep that one private for now, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was wonderful. So yeah, so there was that, and then I made it to the Dune 2 movie. We talked about this last show,
right?
And my one son had watched it, and he called me. He's like, Dad, you got to see this. This is next level. We've got another epic kind of show. Like, it's going to keep going, and it's really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to compare it to Game of Thrones and Star Wars. It's like the cross between the two. Like, I don't know. It's all the young actor, actresses that I'm not kind of up on because I didn't watch the Disney shows in the early 2000s like they did. So I don't know who any of these people are. But it was a great movie. My other son, him and his girlfriend said, hey, let's go. We're going to go Thursday night. And da-da. So it was just the two of them and myself. We had a bunch of Scrooges in the house who didn't want to go see it. So just the three of us. But we went out and got a burger, and then we went and saw the movie. And it was a 2 hours and 40 minutes or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But it moved. It kept moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those movies. You know, the movie ends, and you're like, oh, it's over. Like, I could have had more. Like,
okay.
I think they set it up for, it's supposed to be a trilogy, so I believe there's a third one coming out eventually.
Oh, wow. All right.
I have no information on that.
Right.
Other than I'll be at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about it when it comes out.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Frank Herbert's son, who was involved in it, and another author of my acquaintance named Kevin Anderson. You probably saw their names in the credits, but yeah, when I last saw Kevin, that was a big topic, was getting the Dune movie finished.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to get it closer to the book and kind of improve on the David Lynch version from the 80s. that has aged well, I think, that it has, is a little bit more appreciated now than it was when it came out.
Well, I want to go back and watch that one, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, now, because they tried to do it in one movie, and it's just too long of a book. So they've really had to stretch
it
out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
It sounds like they've done a fine job.
Yeah, well, and I missed the Dune 1 of 2017.
Oh, okay. So
I wasn't...
You started with the middle show, then.
No. So when my middle kid called me and told me about this, he's like, well, you know, it's even better than the first one. I said, you mean from 1984? He said, no, the first one. I said, no, the first one came out in 1984. I remember. He's like, Dad, you're so old. And anyways. So I loaded that one up, and I think I caught it on Max. Mm-hmm. So, which is HBO's thing. And so I watched that one, but I was trying to get through it over the last few days, and leading up to the movie on Thursday, I actually watched the last scene in the theater during the previews.
Oh, okay.
I barely finished it in time. Okay. And then the second movie starts, I'm sitting in the theater. So I got to watch them back to back, kind of. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
Oh, very good. So, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So there you go. Yeah. So, I'm a full fan. You definitely want to see the first movie, though. Mm-hmm. Don't just go to Dune 2. It'll
right.
be,
of course.
You got to know who the players are.
Right.
And so, with an attempt to, like, be politically correct, I was kind of impressed with how they dealt with, because they had some race issues that they were touching on, mm-hmm. and there were some gender things. And, you know, you go to a lot of science fiction movies, and most all of the characters are men. Mm-hmm. And it's a sci-fi nerd experience, right?
Right.
This one had a lot of prominent women who played significant roles as characters throughout the movie, mm-hmm. to where it was like you were getting more of a full community experience. It wasn't just the men. It was the women and the older and the younger. And so it was kind of a good mix. Oh, and the sci-fi and all that worked out pretty well. You know, sometimes you can see that, that's CGI. Mm-hmm. I get what they're trying to do. Most everything they did, they pulled off.
Oh, very good.
So, and maybe the one more impressive piece of that is these big sandworms.
Right. Right.
And they're pretty impressive in this movie. So if you're into the tech side, then
very good. Well, yeah. I'll probably wait until the series is complete before I go.
But I got advice for you. Are we coming up on a break?
We got 2 minutes.
Okay. Then I can get this done in 2 minutes.
Sure.
If you're going to go to this movie, show up 25 minutes after it starts. We showed up at this movie, and we got in our chair on time for the start, what it said the start was, 6:20. And then for, I think it was 22 minutes, we watched commercials for 22 minutes.
Now, was it straight commercials?
No,
was
they were straight commercials.
Okay.
Straight commercials.
No previews, no nothing?
Which I want to watch commercials one time a year, right? Super Bowl. That's it. Show me the best of your best for the year, and then no more commercials for the next year. I don't want to see your commercials, right? You told me it started at 6:20. If you want to show me some previews, I'm kind of okay with that. I don't even like previews because they give away too much of the movie, and if I know I'm going to see it, then... Mm-hmm. I want to be surprised and have the first experience be the first experience, right?
Right.
Because you never forget the first time.
No.
So then after 22 minutes of commercials, then they go into like 5 minutes of previews. I didn't get as many previews. I got way too many commercials. And then the movie started 27 minutes after the start time.
Wow.
I was about ready to start throwing stuff at the screen. Mm-hmm. But all I had was my phone and my drink, and I didn't want to throw either one of those.
Well, the drink especially is quite expensive now.
Oh, yeah. More expensive than the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, well, I think theaters are going toward commercials, et cetera, because, I mean, ticket prices are already outrageous. There's snacks. Forget it. We've had a lot of movie flops lately, especially stuff from Disney. So I don't think people are going to the movies as much as they used to.
Hey, if you wanted me to go to the movies, make it a good experience.
Well, and that's...
Right? Because if I got to watch 27 minutes of filler, I can watch at home.
Right.
I get a cheaper drink and a more comfortable seat.
Right.
I can pause it when I want to for old man breaks. Mm-hmm. I won't describe that. So I don't know. I think they've gone backwards on...
I agree.
...drawing people back in.
Right. I understand that they need to make up money that they're losing, but they're doing it in such a way where it's driving people further away.
Yeah. And it's a 2-hour and 40-minute movie.
Yeah.
You had 27 minutes of prequel stuff on and 3 something hours plus?
You're there all night, yeah. That's not a good experience for anybody.
I got a job, and I got to do laundry, and you know, I got to give people rides. I got stuff to do. You can't take up my time.
Right. I agree.
Speaking of time, we're out of it.
Yeah, and movie going has gotten so rough. I think the last movie I saw was Endgame in the theater.
And, well, that was a good one.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago now, and I haven't been back since.
So. Yeah, okay.
All right. Drake and Scott's on Without Ziggy today on Radioslot.com. We'll be right back. Drake and Scott with Ziggy in spirit today on Radioslot.com. Welcome back. We have our 12, what is this called? 12 harsh truths that many people learn the hard way. So we want to give this a whole segment.
And I didn't even finish all my crazy on the way. So we'll hit some of them later.
Oh, okay.
No, let's get into the 12 truths.
Okay, and then we can...
I'll weave them in.
Okay, very good. I didn't realize we weren't finished.
Number one truth you need to know. This one's true.
Yeah, not everyone will like you. This is an article from MSN or wherever it was I found it.
Not
everyone will like you, and they say no matter how cool, funny, or nice you are, there's always going to be someone who's not into it. You could be the juiciest peach in the world, but some people don't like peaches. Tough pill to swallow, but it's also kind of freeing. Once you realize you can't please everyone, you start living life more for yourself. You focus on people who dig your vibe rather than stressing about those who don't.
Why you got to jump all the way to focus on yourself, author of this article?
It's a good question.
Just focus on the people that do like you and invest in them. You don't have to just invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of our key diseases we have as a culture is selfishness.
Right. I agree on that.
Self-esteem, self-image.
But I do I do appreciate the rest of it. It's like, not everyone's going to like you. And if we want to talk about where we learned these things personally... I was in college. It was one of my instructors. We had a conversation one day, and somehow or other, that became the point of it. I don't remember what led to it, but as soon as he said it, it was like, oh, you mean I don't have to worry about these things? I can just be myself and just find people that I like and like me back, and then we can ignore everyone else. And it did take a load off my mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then there's the next step of let other people be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't like you, then believe them. Move on.
Sure.
And rather than take it personally, just say, hey, this is the way they are. I'm the way I am. I'm going to give them space. And hopefully they give me some space. You know, go spend your time on something that is working.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a couple of times.
We don't have to be triggered by everything.
Right. Right. And
how exhausting.
Exactly. And with that point, there's you know, sometimes you're in a spot where it's just not going to work out at all, and you should find another place to go and be, which probably would have served me well a time or two. Instead of trying to make something work that was not working, I could have found a more genial climb, as some say.
Yeah, if something's not working, you move on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is... a great transition into rule number two, hard truth number two.
Yeah, failure is part of success. You're going to fail sometimes, maybe even a lot. Lucky for you, it's not the end of the world. In fact, it's part of the journey to doing something great. Every time you fall flat, you learn something new and valuable. I'd agree with that, too. Trying to get my books published, etc., there was a lot of, just struggle and maybe even failure on the way because you're learning a craft, you're learning how to talk to publishers and pitch them right, the proper way so that they actually are interested. Eventually you reach the goal and hate it for other reasons, but that's another story. The defeats and the difficulties didn't feel very good at the time, but of course now it's given me a high level of experience to be able to navigate my way through the industry as I have been the last, 10 years. So,
yeah,
it worked for me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no.
What about you? I mean, your whole journey had its own
failure.
Similar.
Failure is part of success. Yeah. It's huge, and I think the most recent piece of that I love is Elon Musk. His company, they have a philosophy: fail fast, learn faster.
Oh.
So he's apparently less concerned with trying to get stuff right the first time, mm-hmm. because when you fail, you learn something of what didn't work, mm-hmm. and it gets you faster onto the track of finding where you want your product to be or what you want it to do. And I love that.
Yeah.
You know, we've done things in our business where that didn't work. Yeah, well, are we going to do it again? Well, yes, but not like that. You know, and that's how you learn. I mean, failure should be embraced. Mm-hmm. That's how you find the things you're good at and the things that you should let someone else be good at.
Right.
Right. I don't need to be a plumber. I love that. Mm-hmm. Any plumbing project I've ever done, I've pretty much failed. And then I was successful because I called the plumber. Right. Just like, I'm not putting solar on my house. I'll let Alex do that.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I don't even want to try.
It would take me a couple of years and I'd still get it wrong.
Right.
Right. And it would cost me more money than I saved. Mm-hmm. So anyways, number three,
you can't control everything. Trying to control everything is like trying to hold on to a bunch of water in your hands. Life is full of curveballs and sometimes things just happen for better or worse. Learning to roll with the punches and adapt is a crucial life skill. I agree 100%.
I agree with the premise, but I would take it even a step further.
Okay.
You can't control anything. Control's a farce.
Okay.
I've been working on this concept for quite a while in my life, even more than a decade at least. And actually, it's enhanced when you have kids. Mm-hmm. You realize you might have influence. You can affect things. But actual control.
Like control, like driving a car or, yeah.
No, there's other people on the road, mm-hmm. right? Raising a kid. Kid has a will. And preferences and appetites and you can't control all of that stuff. Get a dog. Talk about learning you have no control.
Or a cat or three cats or six cats.
You can train a dog to where they're just nails 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. That 1%, you'll know you have no control. No. And I think it's a false premise that occupies us. It inundates us. It sucks us in, and mm-hmm. it controls us to think that we can pursue control.
That's a good point.
Oh, there's some irony.
Yeah. Number four, time heals most things, but not everything. Some things get easier as the days roll on, but others might stick with you. It's about learning to live with the stuff that doesn't completely fade away. The trick is not letting it stop you from enjoying life and moving forward.
Yeah.
Time
does heal most things.
Yeah, and then, you know, therapy is for the rest of it.
Well, <You know? laughs> maybe, or effort, mm-hmm. or moving on. I mean, change of focus. I would push this one even farther and say time heals more than you think. Mm-hmm. You know, if you decide to move on, if you decide to be healed, the power of your own intellect, your own emotion is almost unlimited. Mm-hmm. You can just move on and get going. Now, there are certain things, like if you have something cut off your body, it's not going to grow back, right?
Well, but then there are certain
things can't come back, but are they going to heal? Well, physically, maybe no, but you can emotionally or intellectually heal and move on, find an alternative, solve for whatever you're missing. It's true about relationships. It's true about work. And
mm-hmm. Well, there are other things too. I mean, mental stuff that you might not realize affects you now, but because it happened 10 years ago, but it actually does affect certain things.
Yeah.
How you think, the choices you make, and there is a benefit to discussing those with somebody that can help you get some perspective and actually make an effort to, you know, finally come to terms with those events, you know.
Sure.
So time, yes, and sometimes you need an expert to guide you through a couple things.
Yeah.
Sean.
I just want to encourage people to know they can be their own expert at times.
Yeah, that's true,
And when you're stuck, get an expert. Mm-hmm. That's great, you know, especially with the plumbing.
And sometimes you don't realize you need an expert, and then you just happen to be fortunate.
Well, sometimes you just need a little nudge
out
of stuck, and then you hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, be careful there. Number five, money can't buy happiness, but it sure helps. Having money is better than not having it. It makes things a lot easier and opens up opportunities, but it doesn't buy happiness. It buys comfort, sure, but the real joy comes from the non-material stuff, relationships, experience, and personal growth. I can testify to that. You know, my books have sold decently well, and they have brought in some money, and but it's not a cure-all. I mean, I didn't grow my hair back. It didn't make me cool. You know, hasn't really changed anything like that. It is nice that if I have a problem that requires $1,000 to make go away, I can write a check, as opposed to when I was younger, then that went on the credit card and just, you know, built up a
money provides
crippling debt. You know,
provides options.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's I still talk to people, you know, some relatives that think that, well, everything will be solved if they can get an infusion of cash. And it's like, well, no, it really doesn't solve anything, because you're still you, and you're still what, you know, whatever you is still with you.
Yeah. Well, I think this phrase that it helps, it sure helps. That's a statement that it can get you some temporary happiness. You know, if I get a big infusion of money, I can go on a vacation, but I'm going to be happy during that vacation. Yeah. But when it's over.
Right. And it takes not having to stress about how you're going to pay a bill or something is very nice. But that doesn't necessarily make you happy. It just gives you one less thing to pull your hair out about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trade it, but it's like, no, you're right. It doesn't, I'm only happy because I am happy. I'm not happy because of X.
Well,
if that makes any sense.
I would say this. Mom always said happiness is a decision.
Yeah.
You can decide to be happy.
Right.
And I have met some of the poorest people on the planet, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I've been into very rough areas of Mexico where we built homes for people that it was a gift to their life that we granted them a home, and it was a great experience for us. I've been to Africa and seen people that, man, can't rub two coins together, and all of those people that I run into, happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a matter of where you put your value. If you put your value in money, you won't be happy. Because actually, money can actually make you depressed. It can be more work. You get a lot of money. Now you got a lot of friends that aren't really friends. And now you got to manage that money. And, you know,
you're afraid of losing it.
Oh, yeah. No, and then you start spending more than you think you're not paying attention. And next thing you know, now you got a bigger set of bills than you had before.
Exactly.
You haven't changed. Just your resources have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you put your value is really the statement about money. As long as it isn't money, you have a shot at happiness.
I agree. There you go. Speaking of which, we have to make our advertisers happy. So we'll be right back and continue with this article. Frank and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslots.com. No Ziggy today. He's not feeling well, but
we're Ziggy free.
Yeah, it's me and Scott here. Thanks for listening. Back to our article on 12 harsh truths about life that many don't learn, except the hard way.
We on number six?
We are on number six. Your health is more important than you think. This one's going to hit a little close to home here, Scott. When you're young, it feels like your body's invincible. Late nights, junk food, pushing yourself to the limit, no problem, right? Wrong. Eventually, your body starts sending you the bill, and it's usually more expensive than you thought. Taking care of your health is crucial, and the earlier you start, the better.
Yeah, and they've yet to mention pain.
Yes.
Pain's a big piece of that.
You know, and it's I notice every birthday, I am blessed with a new ailment.
So
it's maybe one ailment goes away and then the new one shows up, and it's like, well, now I have to live with that for a year, and then my next birthday it'll be replaced by the next ailment. My doctor's like, okay, welcome to your late 40s, and it's I'm not 25 anymore. It hurts to stay up late and wake up too tired the next day. I certainly can't drink the way I used to. Other things, it's just the party's over, and I'm happy to stay home now. I can't handle it.
I mean, physically, I think about it this way. What can you do more now than you could do before? At our age, I'm stumped right now. Like, is there anything that I can do better and longer now than I could when I was younger? I'm coming up with nothing.
Yeah, I'm off the top of my head. Yeah, I can't either now. I do know I feel better with exercise, and that I can do more things.
I can't even drive as long as I used to.
Really?
Without being in pain or We drove for like 3 hours the other day. I went to get out of the car. I was like, my legs don't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, gotta get the blood flowing again.
Yeah. And when you have a sciatic nerve pain, as I'm picking up now, it's even worse.
Yeah. And well, you remember like the last five shows I come in here complaining about my back, this, right. my back, that. I mean, it took like 5 weeks mm-hmm. for that to finally go away. I was doing everything I could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is...
Yeah, after 40, kids, that check engine light comes on, and it's...
well, and even when you're young and you feel invincible and you can do anything, there's mm-hmm. one thing you can't do when you're young.
Which is what?
You can't protect yourself from old.
That's true.
Old's going to happen.
Yeah.
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 Number seven,
real friends are few and precious. As you grow up, your circle of friends might shrink, but that's not a bad thing. It's about quality, not quantity. Those true blue friends who stick by you through thick and thin are worth their weight in gold. They're the ones who know all your quirks and still show up. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've learned this in great ways and in the hardest ways. Mm-hmm. People you thought that you were tight with and they would go to the mat for you and always support you. They always have your back. Next thing you know, something bad happens and where are they?
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I know for me, there's only been a few core friends that have stayed with me a significant amount of time. I mean, going back to high school, there's like three guys. Everywhere else, it's like you have friends for a season and then things change and then you get new friends for the next season and then things change. And I've just known as an adult that it's kind of hard to keep the same friends. Things change, people move on, and
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a continuing cycle. And I've really had to kind of come to terms with that I'm not going to be.
Yeah, and when you find somebody that truly cares about you and truly values you, mm-hmm. that is super rare. It's more valuable than gold, and you should hold on to it with everything you have. Mm-hmm. And more importantly than anything else in this discussion, you have to decide to be that person yourself.
Very true.
How do you be that person for other people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's families that can't even figure it out.
Exactly.
Right? Families can't get along, and that's the worst one, mm-hmm. right? When you're around the same people your whole life and you know what their little idiosyncrasies are and they know what yours are and, mm-hmm. and you decide not to put up with them or they decide not to put up with you. That's tragic. Mm-hmm. And just accept them the way they are.
Yeah.
And run with it. You know, cause family can be your closest friends.
They can be.
That's a shocker for some people. People fell out of their chair just now when they heard that.
Well, they can also be your greatest antagonists.
Well, yeah. And then you know who they are, right?
Very true.
It's like Kumo D said, you played yourself and I know where your head's at. Okay. Sorry, we have a quota of 80s rap.
That's right.
That we have to get through at times.
Number eight, no job is perfect.
Amen.
Yeah. Landing your dream job is great, but it's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. Every job has its downsides, be it annoying coworkers, a tough boss, or those days when nothing goes right. It's about finding a gig where the good stuff outweighs the not-so-fun parts. For sure. In broadcasting and in writing books, there's the illusion of the glamour and all the, you know, fun stuff. But then the reality is there's a lot of work to it. And it's, sometimes it's pretty darn hard work.
And for sure.
And everybody thinks it's, you know, gee, it's a great job. You just talk on the radio or you sit and make up stories all day. Well, yeah, there's a lot of that, but then there's all in between, the planning and the discussing with a program director about the direct direction of a show, dealing with my publisher on what the next book's going to be about. I mean, there's a lot, you know, because so much is market and audience driven. The audience expects X and Y. You can't give them B and C, even if you want to try and stretch your legs a little bit. So you have to.
Well, there's generally three areas that you want to evaluate when it comes to a job, mm-hmm. right? What do you actually do? And can you do that? Do you enjoy doing that? Are you capable of doing that? So there's the labor side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're an accountant, do you like numbers? Right. and then there's the people you work with, you know, the personalities and what are your relationships like? And if you know there's somebody you can't get along with, or you know, there's somebody who's wonderful and you love working with them, those drastically change the experience.
Right.
And then third is compensation.
Right.
You know, do you have benefits? You don't need benefits. Are you getting paid enough or you like it so much you don't need to get paid that much? I mean, mm-hmm. you can evaluate those three things and then you have to redefine perfect.
Sure.
OK, Okay, because the way I would say this, rather than no job is perfect, mm-hmm. I'd say every job has flaws.
Okay.
And when you can recognize what the flaws are that you're willing to put up with, and those other three things kind of fit, you might have found the perfect job.
Yeah, it could be.
Because if perfect doesn't exist, then I got to redefine perfect to be able to use the word. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, well, I like the people and they treat me well. I'm getting compensation decent. And yeah, I got to put up with this and I got to put up with that. But for the most part, I get this freedom or that freedom or whatever it is. And I like what I'm doing. That'd be a perfect job.
Sure. And it amazed me how much better my regular job became during the lockdowns and we all had to work at home. And I remember calling my dad and say, you know what? It's not that my job is so bad. It's just that there were people there that really annoy me. And now that I'm not around them, I am having a much better time.
Yeah.
So that's that was a key lesson, too. Sometimes you might have a very nice arrangement, but then you got to deal with people yeah. that make things not so nice. And when they're not around, suddenly everything improves greatly.
Sure.
Which was my experience.
There's another way to say this.
Okay.
Every job is perfect for someone.
Ah, okay.
And if it's someone else, let them have that job. Mm-hmm. Walk away. Go find the thing you do want to do. And then that gives you a little more freedom to resign or quit or mm-hmm. move on from a job. You don't need to feel guilty. In fact, you tell your boss on your way out, hey, I just want to make sure you have the opportunity to find somebody that this job is perfect for. Mm-hmm. And that's someone other than me.
Yeah.
I wish you the best.
Right.
I'm going to go get on my white horse and ride out of here.
There you go. Number 9, you can't please everybody. You have to come to terms with the fact that no matter what you do, someone's not going to like it, and that's okay. This could apply to our podcast here, Scott.
in spades.
Because, you know, there's always somebody who doesn't like what we're doing, and they express themselves. And it's like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Please stop listening.
Well, I mean, you can go farther with this one then. You can't please most people.
True. Yeah.
Everyone implies that you can, you know, do a great percentage of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I 60% of the people in my life are happy with me.
Yeah.
Good luck. That doesn't exist.
Well, let's go back to Dune 2 for a minute because you enjoyed it very much. One of my author pals disliked it very much and it admits that he's in the minority but does not understand why so many people like it.
Well, he can't please me.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying that the creators and producers of that film did a great job for you, not such a great job for him. He had maybe a different expectation or whatever. And it's not that the movie's bad. It's just that one person.
Yeah, they're not going to please everybody.
Yeah, so it's not.
No, just like Game of Thrones. I loved it.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing. And then the last three episodes of the last season, they turned it into a trash fire.
Yeah.
And now I'm disappointed.
Right. So I never watched Game of Thrones, so I have no idea what went on. I hear all the talk.
Well, and this is a dangerous one because if pleasing people is your goal, mm-hmm. well that's the same goal of an enabler.
Yeah,
where I'm just constantly catering to you, I'm going to neglect self, mm-hmm. and then now when I finally realize that I've been neglected, and I've been pleasing you, and you've done nothing of helping me on my side, then there's bitterness. There's all these avenues that come out of. Instead, we should be trying to value the person around mm-hmm. us.
Now, wouldn't you think, too, that this also ties in with not everybody's going to like you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which affects whether your job's perfect or not. Mm-hmm. All these different things.
Yeah.
Right?
Number 10, your parents aren't always right, but they often have a point.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let that one sit on its own without reading the paragraph below. I would agree. I mean, they're... You know, my folks have been wrong about a lot of things, and not necessarily wrong. It's just that their perspective provided them with an insight that didn't necessarily apply to my situation, although they thought so.
The problem that children make with parents is they assume that parents have full reference for the full experience that the child is having.
Exactly.
And we hold our parents up in this like superhero status rather than letting them be human. And when they miss something, we attribute it to their failure or their lack of skill or ability. Mm-hmm. It's a negative attribution we give to them rather than just saying, no, they're still catching up on the learning curve of understanding where I actually am.
Right. And part of my problem in those situations was I was never very good at explaining my side of things. And it always seemed like the more I tried, the more confused they got. So the more bad advice they gave me, and it was just like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you've met people and you've heard this, you know, they have daddy issues, right? And I've dealt with this with men. I don't deal with a whole lot of women with daddy issues because I'm a guy. I deal with more guys, right? But I run into some of these guys and they're talking about their dad this, their dad that. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How about your dad did as best he could with the scenario he was in, with what he knew, being a parent for the first time?
Right.
And how about your expectations of dad or what are actually off? That was a light that went off for me 30 years ago where I said, hey, I'm going to hold my dad in the light I want to hold myself in, where I don't have to be perfect and I don't need him to be perfect. Now that's a totally different relationship.
Right.
That's how you solve it. And parents are wrong plenty often. Once you start to believe that, you can move on to finding solutions.
That's right.
When they're wrong, you were wrong first. Remember
that. Okay. All right, we got two more and 2 minutes. We really need to go to a two-hour show here. Number 11, not all relationships are meant to last. This ties back with my thing about friends being around for seasons and then moving on.
Many times that's their decision rather than yours.
Mostly,
which means
yes.
You have no control.
Yeah, exactly.
And not everybody's going to like you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is a rehash in a different way.
And then the last one.
Which should be, say, relationships end. That's the short way of saying it.
Yeah. And then the last one. What happened to the webpage now? I'm back at number one. Jeez.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
No, Internet. Number 12. Sometimes you just have to let go.
There we go. Thank you.
Number 12 is sometimes you just got to let go.
Which ties in with several of the...
I've been meaning to have a conversation with you.
Oh, really? No, we didn't even make it to 52 shows.
We're about to.
This is episode 45, yeah.
We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just have to let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, look what you made me do.
I'm the problem, it's me.
I'm the problem, it's me. Sorry, I was just feeling 22, you know. This is what 22-year-olds do.
Well, you got to shake it off and move on.
Shake it off and move on. That's right. Yes, are we...
There's like one person laughing at this right now.
No, we're episode 6 of the challenge, right?
I think so,
we can't say Tay-Tay's name and...
No, we can't.
And Kelsey's girlfriend has to remain nameless.
That's right.
And so Sailor Twist, which she hasn't really been in the news lately.
She has not. It's been easy not to talk about her because there's been nothing to talk about.
Yeah, good for her. Maybe she gets a little rest, a little break.
That would be nice.
Has she started second half of her tour yet?
I have no idea.
I mean, because she might need another $4 billion or something. I'm telling you, I'm so impressed with her.
I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's killing it.
Right on. Well, we gotta
let go?
We gotta let go of this segment.
Sometimes you gotta let go.
That's right. Back after this. Drake and Scott, without Ziggy today on Radioslot.com, back with our final segment, our post-game wrap-up, and a story we didn't, because we're out of time already.
Where did it go?
Very quickly, my last Saturday, my wife wanted to go see a country performer, and it was a three-act show. And the fellow she wanted to see was headlining, and these are country artists. She's a big country music fan. I can't stand it, but we go support your wife because that's what she likes. These are guys in their...
Keep mama happy.
Yeah, these are guys in their 70s. They're singing about booze and women, and it just, you know, that's one awkward thing. You know, it's like at some point, you know, dude, you know, it's like you're 70. Just, you know, sing about something else.
Yeah, please.
But I don't know what young people do anymore on Saturday nights, but apparently they don't go out drinking. Because everybody, these performances were at this janky bar in Concord. And
well, they go out. They just find places to avoid you.
I guess so. But it's like everybody there was 40 plus. And these folks were 5,000 miles of bad road. I mean, there were rough-looking rummies out there. And they were all at this bar for the country show. And it's like, you know, sometimes the party really does end when you hit 30. And some people don't get the memo.
Or they've figured out that they can't please anyone and they're just going to be themselves.
Everybody was nice. There was no problems or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's like, okay, guys, you know, maybe eat a salad because you kind of look like you're a biker dude and you look like a potato. And honey, that skirt didn't fit 15 years ago. It really doesn't fit now.
Oh, and it just we were doing so well today.
You know, we've got to get a little bit of Brian Drake's Naked Cruelty in here.
You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it.
Yeah. But overall, we had a very nice time. It was a great couple of shows. But it was just like, okay, how many tattoos do you need, honey? I mean, it's just
one more. That's the correct answer. Yeah. No, I've been to some events over the last year or two where I looked around and thought, I think I'm the youngest person in the room, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, my wife and I were the second youngest. The most youngest was a young lady who was selling the merchandise for one of the artists. I mean, if she was 25, I'd be surprised. You know, I'm old enough to drink, but not, you know.
Right.
But
in most of those venues that I've been in where I found myself the youngest, I looked around at the business and thought they know who their target audience is because they have them here and they're the people that they want here that are going to spend money here. And it works out for everybody.
There's a lot of folks spending.
And I don't have to be around the loud 20-something crowd.
That was a plus. Yeah. These were people that they still wanted to party, but they're not.
Because I value different things.
Yeah, yeah. They still wanted a party, but they kept it classy enough to where everybody had a good time, and it wasn't like one person going nuts and fighting and making it uncomfortable for everybody. So overall, very good. But it was like, okay, you know, sometimes it's time to
let go.
You know, let go of the old lifestyle, and I should probably let go of complaining about it. So
that'd be nice. And get to our post game report.
That's right. Post game report brought to you by
Value.
Okay.
You gotta be clear on what you value. And when you know what you value and what has actual value, you're gonna be much better off. If you can have clarity on that, then you can decide to be loyal to what's really valuable, which we've seen that in a couple different places.
Okay.
Right? We didn't get to crazy on the way of me getting on my taxes this last week.
No, we can save it for next week.
No, but I mean, this fits in here. I don't value that so much, so I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about it or whatever because I know I value other things. So I do my taxes, I turn them in, and move on.
Okay.
Right? We'll talk about the passports next week.
Oh, yes, the passport story. That.
But even this list of 12 hard truths, if you know what you value and what you're loyal to, you can take hard out of that list. They're not hard truths. They're just truths. This is how life works, and you know where you fit into it because you know what you value and what you're loyal to.
Right.
And you can move on to the next thing is figuring out the people around you. What do they value? What are they loyal to? Now you're playing nice with everybody in the sandbox. Because now they have space in your world that you've granted them.
Ah.
It's a good place.
And the other way around, yeah.
Man, we went all psychologist
or something. Yeah, what this could almost be a wholesome show if we keep this up. I don't know if I like that.
We'll trash it next week. We'll bring Ziggy back and bring us back in. We miss you, Zig.
Yeah, get well soon. And, boy, he was a trooper, you know, trying to get some things done over the weekend, but I think it put him flat on his back. So get well soon, Ziggy, and it's me, Brian Drake. He's Scott. We'll be back next week.
Word to your mother.